I am Will with the Soap Sun, bringing you half an hour of everything under the sun, a little news segment with the staff, freelancers, and sometimes subjects of the Soap Sun. Today, I have with me in the studio Laurel Smith and Justin Patrick. Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
Thanks for being here with us. And we're going to talk, to be honest, it's a serious show, but let's start off with the exciting stuff, at least for us at the paper. We were not here last week. It was actually our first week not being here on a Thursday. We're going to a twice a month first and third Thursdays format just to keep focusing on our main object being the paper, and also give Kenny and Kay a chance to do some fun stuff of their own with this time. So we're still here. If you missed us last week, don't worry. We're sticking it out. Everything Under the Sun is ongoing. But we happened to be last week at the Colorado Press Association convention in Aurora. Great chance to catch up with a variety of other papers around the Western Slope in Colorado, small and large, and pretty much not nonprofits. We're kind of unusual in that respect, whereas Kitty and Kay is part of a wonderful group of nonprofit radio. Real lucky to have both of those things in this town. Anyway, came home with 7 first place awards and 6 second place awards in our category, a size category of papers of 4,000 to, I think, 7,000 weekly distribution, including Justin here was part of our drought coverage, sustained coverage first place win, which was pretty cool. Thanks, Justin.
Yeah, you remember my reaction.
Which story did I do
did
a drought
I write
on?
About drought?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The ditch tour, which is related to drought. That's,
well, and
that's
you really touched
me.
On drought in your ditch. It wasn't just like, oh, I'm going to throw this tangential thing in from Justin Patrick. It was, this was sort of the arc of the season.
Yes.
I don't see what is, oh, yes.
There's also
we have our those are mine. We've got some glasses that we're transferring around. Anyway, we have a long list. You can see it in the paper. I'm not going to go into super detail. The other one I really want to call out, though, in addition to our lovely sort of sustained coverage, which involved a whole bunch of our freelancers, which we have 2 of here today, and are a huge part of what we do with the paper, but also Jimmy D and his first place win for sports column, a non-journalist coming in talking about being a Raiders fan in Bronco country, and he came out with a first place finish for that. So I'm real proud of that one for sure. Otherwise, you can check out the whole list in the paper on page 3, and we're going to get back to doing what we do.
Well, I think you also deserve some props for all these awards. I think your leadership has been awesome in the past couple of years.
Yeah, but only 2 of them have my name on them, Justin. I shared that one with you, and I got a photo award for best news photo, which I was rather proud of, from the night of the 4th of July, which I think was an eventful one for a lot of people in this town. Or at least the next town up. So that was gratifying, but thank you for the pat on the back, but not necessary. and hopefully we'll have a bunch more this next year. We actually, another kind of thing of note, we are going to drop into a slightly smaller size category next year because we've cut our distribution back just a smidge to make up for a better paper. So we're hopefully going to equalize out on the cost front there, but let us know what you think. We're like I said in the paper this week, we're doing a visioning next week. We're going to do a retreat and see what we're going to tweak and whether there's going to be any changes or shifts in philosophy or just what we can do better. But we're trying out this new paper on a temporary basis and hopefully a permanent basis. People like it. It's shinier, and the sun it ought to shine, right? So that's the newest attempt to be the best we can be. Okay, now for the less shiny aspect of the program. Laurel, you were in maybe 3 months ago. I said to you, I'd love to have some sort of story on homelessness, some sort of visual representation of that. And you found one almost homeless person to profile and follow through that process. And you also spoke with Carbondale Homeless Assistance and other folks about the problem of those folks on the edge, not the people who are sort of stereotypically panhandling on the corner, but people whose whose housing is up in the air and maybe gone. So what can you tell us about that?
So I met Lori Nathy a couple of months ago, and she's been so gracious in opening up her life and sharing her story with me and allowing me to document these last couple months that have really been a struggle for her. One of the reasons that she has fallen into almost homelessness is due to her health complications. She's had several health problems, probably the most dramatic being a traumatic brain injury that makes it very difficult for her to hold employment and work a normal job that would give her the income to survive in this valley. And so I began documenting her, and she was living in a studio apartment in Carbondale, and she had to leave her apartment because she was unable to pay for her rent. Rental prices in Carbondale are extremely high, as we all know. And she moved on to staying with a friend. And that's been really challenging to have to accept that help and not be able to support herself. And while this whole trauma is going on with her housing, she fell and broke her hip. And she went several weeks without receiving medical care because she didn't know that she would qualify for assistance. She's since seen a doctor, and she's had surgery, and she's on her way to a healthy recovery. But she still faces homelessness, and her future's still a little bit unknown. And I think why I've been so drawn to her story is because she tells the story of so many people, not only in our valley, but people across the nation that struggle with homelessness due to medical costs, due to medical issues that make it difficult to keep that income. And I think it was really wonderful and brave of her to be so willing to share her story.
Thanks, Laurel. On a slightly brighter front, the other photo of yours in this week's paper is of CMC's new Proto Lab space. What did you find out there while you were, since we've got you here?
Oh, going into the CMC Prototype Lab, they have such an amazing facility there. When I was there, I was watching them use the 3D printer, and I think that it's quite amazing to see, to have access for students to this new technology that is definitely going to be the future of where innovation is going to. And I think a couple of students, they mentioned how nice it was to have a hands-on experience when so much of what they do is digital and on a computer screen.
Makes sense to me. Yeah, and that's opening in a couple of weeks, but it's already in use now, so we had a chance to sort of profile it. Megan Tackett, our reporter, doing the main story on that, but she and Amy Haddon Marsh are off on a, I don't know if it's top secret or not, but they're off on a mission elsewhere, and so we won't be hearing from her this week, but tune in a couple more if you want to listen to Megan. Now, Justin, your story was actually based on a screw-up on the Soper Sons' part, or at least an oversight on the Soper Sons' part, and I guess I should reveal that first. A few weeks back, we published an ad from somebody who communicated rather back and forth with us. I mean, it wasn't just a single post, and we just ran it with our ad department about a help wanted position. And when somebody followed up on it and tried to find out what was going on, they found out that this was supposedly a business out of Colorado Springs, and nobody at that business had any clue about the ad or about the person that was representing themselves. So we found that we had been inadvertently propagating what was probably a scam. We can't necessarily confirm that. We haven't heard from anyone who's actually had their information stolen by these folks. We thought after that, well, heck, we thought anybody who had a certain amount of skepticism, let's say, would not fall victim to something like this. But these folks are getting smarter and more dedicated and more personal, and we want to be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. So I spoke with Justin, and Justin said, yeah, I'll do a story on scams. So where did you go from there?
Oh, my. You know, scams are everywhere today, and I think we've all been noticing in the past year that phone calls are more frequent due to a technology called spoofing, which allows unscrupulous individuals to mask their phone numbers and imitate phone numbers, and just the proliferation of hacking and email scams, and it just seems to be everywhere. I mean, this morning I was driving to Eagle, where I didn't need to be, but I got a call on my phone, and it was from Chicago, and my girlfriend's brothers live in Chicago, so I answered the phone, and it was in Chinese, I'm pretty sure, something like that, and it was a voice recording in Chinese, and I was just like, give me a break. I turned off my phone, but it had disconnected my podcast, and I was on the highway, so I got deprived of a podcast the whole drive there, and was just cursing this call, and it's just, you know, I probably get 3 or 4 of them a day, and I typically hang up, and the office where I work, we get 10 or 15 a day, and you know, it just seems to be out of control. So I'm certainly interested in it. You know, the unfortunate side of it is there's not a whole lot you can do. These people are attacking from overseas in the majority of cases. There's not going to be any real retribution that you can do. So what you really need to focus on is protecting yourself. So I did sit down with Lieutenant Chris Wortsmith of the Carbondale Police Department, and he confirmed that the Carbondale PD has received about 20 reported cases in the last year, and that's, according to Lieutenant Wortsmith, probably just a drop in the bucket. It's probably people that are attempted victims of scams just blow it off and they don't report it. Mm-hmm. And then some people, you know, that are scammed, just they don't feel like there's anything that they can do to resolve the situation, so they don't report. Undocumented people are often targets of scams because they're a vulnerable population. They probably won't go to the police for help, and that's a really dark victimization, as Lieutenant Wortsmith pointed out. So it's, you know, it sucks basically. And what you can do about it is, as I've laid out in the article, unfortunately, you know, I can't go into the kind of detail that I wanted to go into, because I mean, there's a website about scams that's listed in the article for information, and they detail 32 scams, and that's just the most common scams, 32 different kinds of them. So I would really encourage people to educate themselves, always, unfortunately, always be on your guard. And you know, the bottom line is that unless they're hacking your computer, your information, if they're extracting the information from you voluntarily, there has to be some sort of point where they go in for the kill, right? Where you have to give them a credit card number or your social security number, your date of birth, and just be super careful about giving that information out. It's almost never necessary. Companies usually have access to that information. They're not going to ask you for it. You can always ask for things in writing, ask for things by mail. You know, you can always hang up and verify a phone number. You know, the thing that Lieutenant Wortsmith wanted to emphasize was just don't give in to the fear and panic. Cause we all feel that it's, oh, the IRS, my taxes didn't go through. I'm in trouble. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do? You know, resist that. That's what they want you to feel.
Yeah, no, or your grandson is in jail and we need you to bond him out. Or it's amazing just how many different tactics they take. And again, they're going from this sort of, you know, that Chinese mass phone call that obviously Justin isn't going to fall prey to, because Justin doesn't understand Chinese, I'm guessing.
I don't, and I'm not from Chicago, and I mean, when you start to think about it, it's just like, that's crazy. Why did I get that call? Like, who are
they? Well, you mentioned that there's sort of two camps. There's the mass, we're going to hit as many people as possible, and some of them are going to fall for it,
right?
Camp.
Yeah.
And the very targeted, we looked up the names of the officers in Carbondale, and we're going to represent ourselves as one of them when we call you. And that second camp, that's scary for me, because that's a level of like that goes from scamming to practically a con job. It's really,
yeah, exactly, focused. And it, because information is so available on the internet with just a little bit of digging, it's not like the con artists of 1980 had to get to know you and really like work you. Now it's just like, okay, well, yeah, you could get a name of a Carbondale police officer, you could look at a public court record and see that somebody was in trouble with the law, you can figure out where their address is, you put a couple of data points together, you can spin a yarn that's going to appeal to that person and make it feel like it's real.
Technically, this is a call-in show. So as I let you guys know that this is KDNK, Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley and beyond, commercial-free since 1983, and that you're listening to everything under the sun. I'm also going to invite anybody who's had a particularly interesting scam experience, a call in the last few days that either made you think or just seemed so preposterous you can't imagine anyone was falling for it. Give us a call, 963-2976. Also, if you've been on the brink of homelessness because of a medical issue or we got a call. We'll see which one this is. Katie and Kay, you're on the air.
Hey, I do have a question. Sometimes I handle those calls a certain way. If they look like they're coming through a cell phone, I text something back.
Okay.
And I wonder if that makes a bigger opening or if it's just satisfying me because I'm saying, bleep off or whatever. And I just do it for my own satisfaction, I wonder if it's making a bigger opening.
I mean, I'm not an expert on the matter.
Is it making my phone more vulnerable?
Yeah, I mean, every piece of advice I came across in researching this article is do not play with these people, do not respond to them, hang up.
Well, especially on the voice end, I wonder on the text end, and again, it's probably not going to help, but the question of whether it's going to hurt might be a good one for an expert. I do know that there are a couple of folks, a comedian I know of, who really likes to play with the scam folks and go back and forth with them and then get up and show what they've done with that. But one thing you got to be really cautious of that I've heard is if you respond to them vocally, sometimes they're actually recording you. They're trying to get a verbal confirmation out of you. They'll open with, hey, are you there? Can you hear me? And they want a yes. They want something that they can use against you. I'm not sure if the same can be done with a text. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And if anybody out there is listening and says, oh yeah, when you text someone that opens you up to this, we'd love to hear that. I don't know that specific answer, but I do think Justin's right.
It's probably harmless, caller, but you're not gaining anything out of it other than personal satisfaction and
my personal satisfaction.
There's
I might go ahead and run with that. But
yeah,
there's also another thing is that sometimes my phone says decline, and sometimes it does not offer me that option.
Hmm.
And I'm afraid to touch it because I don't want to answer it.
I have never encountered that. Have you? Justin?
Oh, no. I know why. Oh. It's because it says answer or message. Message is the thing. And that's when I tap message, I tap custom, and I say, bleep off.
Hmm.
But if it says decline, I go ahead and decline it.
Yeah, that seems like a good approach. I don't know why this isn't geek speak. I wish it was, or we'd help you with that problem.
Yeah. I think the best policy is to keep your phone number off the internet as best you can. Put your number on the do not call list and hang up.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the best precautions.
I do that all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, and block the calls that you get. It's this. Although to be honest, these days it seems like they're coming from so many different spoofed numbers. Sometimes it's a 963 number, and you think, of course, I should answer that.
If I don't know them, they'll leave a message, and if they don't leave a message, they're trying to scam me.
It does seem like that's the approach more and more people are taking to this, is just not answering their phone if they don't recognize the number.
Oh, I know, the blocking thing.
Mm-hmm.
Does your phone, does that take up a bunch of room to block all these numbers?
No, most phones can do that with very little effort. You either build a list and you set it all to silent, or there's an actual block system, both on Android and iPhone, and I think even on non-smartphones.
The blocking thing, but I started to be worried that it was taking space on my phone.
I don't think it's going to be a significant one for you.
I also suspect if you answer the call or even if you text back, you're kind of sending the signal that this is a live number, and I think they even trade numbers with each other and sell those numbers, so I really think it's just not in your interest.
This is a live number. Okay, yeah. Now that I can hear.
Yep. So.
Okay.
Well, thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
All right, have a good one. That brings up this issue of it's getting harder and harder to be a journalist because nobody answers my calls because they think I'm out there to scam them. But I do leave voicemails, so hopefully they get back to me. We're about 5 minutes to the end of the time, and there's a lovely car alarm going off somewhere in the background. I don't know if you guys can hear that on the air. Also something I'm not a fan of, car alarms. It seems like they do very little in the way of good, and nobody goes out there. I'm not running out there to save whoever's car that is. It's just aggravating.
Lots of fish shaking today.
Yeah, that's us. But anyway, 963-2976 if you have anything else to add. Otherwise, Laurel, Justin, anything you'd like to share, anything you're working on that you can tease a little bit without giving the whole thing away?
Well, I'm starting to do preliminary research. I'd really like to do a project looking at young people who are incarcerated and kind of the injustices in our juvenile justice system and how difficult it is for them once they are put back into the world and how many hurdles that they have to go to become a model citizen that a lot of them are striving to be.
Excellent. Justin?
I got nothing. It's not going to be a big surprise.
Really?
No, I mean...
I've already assigned you to one meeting. You pitched to me today.
Which meeting is that?
Housing.
Oh, right. The ongoing affordable housing issue that plagues our valley.
Yeah. We're all going to solve it at that.
We're all going to solve it. The answer is going to be revealed out of the... Yeah.
We've been keeping it from you, and I hope you guys can tell my sarcasm here, because... Obviously, this is a bigger issue than any one organization can tackle, and it probably won't ever be 100%.
We got to keep working away at it.
Yeah, and that's that brings us back to that sustained coverage thing. At least this year, we get a little bit of a reprieve on the drought front. So there's that, and we'll keep our fingers crossed that the runoff will happen slowly instead of all at once, and that it'll be not too bad a fire year. It just keeps on a going. Any final suggestions from the listening audience? If there's a story you'd like us to look into, again, 963-2976. Otherwise, Laurel, Justin, thank you both for joining me today. Thanks.
I should have mentioned in my article that the good news was it wasn't apparent that Carbondalians are preying on Carbondalians.
That is good news.
It seems like this is coming from the outside. So we're still a nice, tight-knit community, and everybody loves each other.
I hope that nobody in Carbondale is scamming people elsewhere either. Hey, if you're a scammer and you're based out of Carbondale and you're calling out to
people in India,
claiming to be a Nigerian prince, give us a call. We'd love to hear about your process and maybe feature you. But otherwise, thanks for listening, and you guys, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Anytime.